Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
So let's take a look at our text this morning. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Dr. Luke, one of the Apostle Paul's missionary companions who partnered with Paul in spreading the gospel throughout the church, wrote the Gospel of Luke. And in here, he's telling about an incident that took place in the life of Jesus. It took place right after Jesus was baptized and then went into the desert for 40 days. And for 40 days, Jesus prayed and he fasted and he was tempted by the devil and he came out of that victorious. So let's pick it up in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee." Notice that the power of the Spirit, Jesus came back in after a time of prayer and fasting and obedience. We're going through 21 days of prayer and fasting. And my prayer is that you're drawing near to God. And as you seek God, God does powerful things as we pray and fast. Fasting is to be a regular part of a Christian's life. If you're taking notes, just write in your notes this morning, Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to read Matthew chapter 6, because in that passage, Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. He wants us to fast, because fasting helps us to get a greater connection with God, because we're denying our physical needs, our physical desires, and saying, God, you're more important. There's something supernatural that takes place when we pray and fast. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. News of him went all throughout the surrounding region. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And I just want to pause here. Jesus is in Nazareth. This is his hometown. He was born in Bethlehem, but he later moved to Nazareth. And this is kind of where he was brought up. And so this is his hometown. And he is come home now. And he has been going throughout the region, preaching, healing people, doing miracles. And everybody in town sees that God has a hand on his life, and they ask Jesus to participate in the church service that day. And so Jesus, he comes to them, and there's his probably his family is there, his parents and grandparents, maybe his brothers. There's friends, there's well-wishers. As he stands up, he looks out across the congregation, and he sees familiar faces of people that he grew up with, people that he's known as he grew up, elders and that kind of thing. And so he begins to speak as he's handed a scroll. Now, here's the thing. They didn't have Bibles in our time that had all the books of the Bible in them. Instead, they had scrolls. And different books of the Bible were on each scroll. And Jesus is handed the scroll of Isaiah. And without chapters, without numbers of verses, Jesus opens the scroll up to Isaiah, a prophecy Isaiah gave, and this is what Jesus said. And realize this was a divine appointment. It just so happened. Not really. God said, this is where it's going to be. Jesus opens it up and he reads this. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then Jesus closed the book, gave it to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Friends, Jesus was not in that room by accident. And you are not in this room today by accident. Jesus wasn't handed the message from Isaiah by accident. It was a divine appointment, and it's a divine appointment that you are here today to hear this message about how you can be anointed and live in your dash effectively with power. It wasn't by chance that Jesus was in church. It was his habit. It was his custom, it says. And because it was his custom and he found himself in church again, God used that habit to bring about a divine appointment. And friends, as you, your habit of attending this church has brought you here today, God can give you a divine appointment to be powerfully anointed in the Spirit of God. It's not an accident you're here today. God wants to give you an anointing. In fact, he already has. Let's try to understand the anointing this morning. Take out your notes. Point number one, the first key to understand and understanding the anointing is this: Jesus was anointed. Jesus was anointed himself. In verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And then he says all these other things. And then when he sits down, he says, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus said, "I am anointed." He was quoting Isaiah chapter 61. Write that in your notes this morning. That's what he was quoting. He's quoting Isaiah 61. You can read that on your own. And it's a prophecy about the Messiah, about the King of the Jews who is going to reign forever and make the Jews a world power. And Jesus read this word about an anointed, about the anointing that the Holy Spirit would bring upon this king, bring upon the Messiah. And Jesus said, "I am he. This scripture is fulfilled. I am the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ." Did you realize when we say Jesus Christ, that Christ is not his last name? I mean, you know, Smith is your last name, Morgan, you know, Mellendorf, whatever it might be. But Christ is not his last name. Christ is a title. The word Christ means anointed one. So when we say Jesus Christ, we're really saying Jesus anointed one. And Jesus was and still is the anointed one. Now, what is anointing? What does it mean to be anointed? In your notes this morning, anointing is dedicating someone or something for service to God. It's when you dedicated something or someone. And back in the Old Testament, they would dedicate buildings, they would dedicate furniture, and they would dedicate people. We give you some references there, and you can look them up. But the tabernacle, it was a movable tent that Israel used to worship God when they were in the wilderness and later in the promised land. But when they built the tabernacle, they would take oil and they would pour oil on it, on the tabernacle. And all of the furnishings, all of the furniture, all of the utensils they used in the worship of God, they anointed each and every one with oil. That oil symbolized the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Oil back in those days was used to light lamps. It was used to burn fire. It was used also as a medicine and as a salve, symbolic that the Holy Spirit is to give light, it's to give warmth, and it is to give healing. And that was what the service of God was to do. And so they anointed the tabernacle and all of its trappings. They anointed Aaron and his sons, the priests. And as they anointed this, it was set apart only to be used for service to God. And so when you think of the concept of anointing, it's basically that one or something is set apart, it's dedicated to do God's work. That's what the anointing is. And that's going to bring us to our next point this morning. Number two, if you are a Christian, you have an anointing. If you are a Christian, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are anointed, you are set apart, you're dedicated to God already. This is what John, the disciple, wrote in John chapter in his letter to the church, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. "But you," referring to the entire church, not just the pastors, "you have an anointing from the Holy One." You have an anointing. This is a declaration that every single Christ follower is to be dedicated to God's service. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you have an anointing. You do. Now, you may not feel anointed this morning, but that's a tactic of the devil. The devil doesn't want the church to realize they're anointed. He doesn't want the church to realize they've been set apart. You might say, I am not worthy. Friends, it's not based upon who you are. In the movie The Lion King, why was Simba anointed? It wasn't because he was the fastest. It wasn't because he was the strongest. It wasn't because he was the most mature or most holy. The reason that Simba was anointed the king is because he was the son of the king. And friends, that's the reason you and I are anointed. It's not because of anything we do. It's because we are sons and daughters of the king. We're children of the king. Do you realize that? You have a powerful anointing because you are a child of the king. Do you realize that in Romans, Paul, he said, you are heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. You know what that means? As a co-heir of Christ, everything Jesus has, you have. And here's the thing. Jesus was anointed, you're anointed. Jesus is the anointed one. And doesn't Christ live in you when you become saved? Christ, the anointed one, lives in you, and now you have his anointing. Just because you're a believer, just because you've accepted Christ, you are an anointed one. And there's so many of us that don't realize God has anointed me. God has set me apart for his service. It's not a choice we have. It's something we're supposed to live in. The question is, will we line up our lives and begin to flow in this anointing, or do we just let it sit there and do nothing? God is waiting each and every day for his church, for his people to say, I am going to line up in the anointing and begin to flow in what God has. You have an anointing from God. There were three groups of people in the Old Testament that were anointed on a regular basis. And each one of these corresponds to a title in the New Testament that God gives Christians. And these three groups can help us learn about the anointing and what that encompasses in our lives. Take a look in your notes this morning. The first group of people were prophets. The first group of people were prophets, and prophets speak to people about God. And the thing is, they just don't speak with their words, but they speak with their actions, and they also spoke with miracles. Many times the prophets, they would do miracles. They would heal things. There was one time a prophet caused an axe head that fell into a river to rise. The stone axe head rose, and it floated on the river so they could find it again. Do you realize that God wants you and I to speak to people and to reveal to him through our words and through the power of the Holy Spirit? God calls you and I to be prophets. You say, where do you get this? Well, in Numbers, and we give you all these references in your notes so you can look them up on your own. But in Numbers chapter 11, verse 29, Moses says that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. That was God's desire, that all of us would be prophets. And that began to happen on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, Peter said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Friends, we are to be prophets. We speak for God in this generation. If we don't speak for God, who is? Is the government going to speak for God? No. Are the colleges and schools going to speak for God? No. You know, who's going to speak for God if the church doesn't speak for God? We have the anointing of the prophet to speak for God to this generation. That's the first title of anointing, the first role our anointing plays in our lives. The second one is that of a priest. Priests in the Bible, they draw near to God, and if you're taking notes, they draw people near to God. priests, they draw near to God and they would worship, they would offer sacrifices, they would intercede, but then they would also offer sacrifices for the people, trying to draw people near to God, to bring them to reconciliation, to bring them to know God. It was kind of funny because before church, I heard some bad blood between the Broncos fans and the Steelers fans. We almost need a reconciliation service today between them this morning. Friends, there is a reconciliation that's a whole lot greater than your sports teams. People that don't know God are going to hell. And they need the life of Jesus. They need to know that they are sinners. You are a sinner. All of us are sinners. None of us are good enough. If you're here and you haven't received Christ, you haven't accepted him as your forgiver and made him the Lord of your life, I'm going to be straightforward with you. You're going to hell. You say, Craig, that's harsh. Let me ask you this. If you were taking poison and it was going to kill you, and I knew about it, would that be mean of me not to tell you you're taking poison? And I just let you die? Yeah, I wouldn't be very nice, would I? You would want me to warn you. If you are continuing in your sin, you haven't given your life to God, it is going to kill you. It's a poison and it's going to kill you. You need to surrender to Christ and give your sin up this morning. And all of us are priests. God wants us to draw near to him. Are you drawing near to him on a regular basis? Are you worshiping? Are you praying? Are you interceding for others? That was one of the primary roles of a priest, was to intercede for others. And that's what God wants us to do. And we are the light of the world. We're drawing people to God. That's the role of a priest. And we see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, Jesus has made us kings and priests to God. You're a priest. That doesn't mean you have to be celibate, okay? Because Aaron was married in the Bible. The priests in the Bible were married. Aaron was anointed as a priest, and we're told we're priests. We have that anointing as priests to come near to God and bring others near. There was a third group that was regularly anointed in the Bible, and those were the kings. And what does a king do? A king has dominion over the enemies of the kingdom. And kings rule for the good of the people. Every man who ever served as a king in Israel was first anointed as a king to do so. King Saul, King David, King Solomon. And we're told that we are kings. The Apostle Peter wrote in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. You are kingly priests. You are priests that are kings. Just as Revelation 1, 6 said, I've made you kings and priests. Did you know you're royalty this morning? Oh, wow. You're royalty. You're a king. And here's the thing. You and I are to take dominion over the enemy, over the powers of darkness that are in our community, that are in our nation. We're to take that dominion, and we are to expand the influence in the kingdom of God in the hearts and lives of people. There are people that are oppressed, that are discouraged, that are sick, that are needy, and God wants us to take the gospel to them, to heal the sick, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set at free those that are just caught up in whatever it is, they're prisoners. You have an anointing as a king, as a prophet, and a priest. Oh boy, we're in deep weeds, man. You are a king. You are a priest. You are a prophet. You have an anointing. That's a little better. Do you realize the privilege God has put upon you as his child? To be an anointed one, to make a difference in the lives of others. You have an anointing. Look at number three this morning. We got to move quickly. The anointing is for helping people, not for doing your task. The anointing is for helping people, not for doing your task. Sometimes, as Christians, I've heard Christians pray, God, anoint me when I speak. Anoint me when I sing. Anoint me as I play my instrument. Anoint me, God, as I minister to the kids. Anoint me as I minister to the youth. Anoint me as I greet. Friends, here's the thing. When you're praying that, you're making it all about you. God, help me to speak well, to sing well, to be nice, to make a connection, to build a relationship. No, it's not about you. It's about others. It's about drawing other people as we're worshiping, that as you sing, as you're worshiping to God, it lifts other people out of the doldrums, out of the prisons they've been, out of the discouragement of the week, that they're high, that they're brought into the throne room of heaven, and they see Jesus high and lifted up, and they're seeing him. As you minister to those little kids, that those kids see the compassion of Jesus. They hear the word of God. They hear the truth. They hear the hope and the vision for their life and their change. It's that as you're ministering, you are touching the lives of others. The anointing is about other people. And God wants us to approach our life about others, about touching them. So many times our own prayer life is, God, give me this, give me that, help me here, help me there, help, you know. But God says, if you're a prophet, a priest, and a king, then your life is to be dedicated to serving God and helping other people. And our prayer life should be about, God, help me to get into the flow of your spirit today. Your spirit knows what's going on. Help me to help others. You have an anointing that is to help other people. Now, let's talk about really quickly. I'm going to give you 5 bullet points. How do you live an anointed dash? How do you live every day in anointing? Flip over in your notes. Approach each day dedicating yourself to God's work. When you get up in the morning, say, God, here I am, and I'm dedicating this day to you. God, help me to not be, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in our 8-to-5 job and what we have to do. And it's so easy to forget about that. But instead, say, God, I'm going to dedicate myself to be used of you today. Use me for your work. Help me to touch my coworkers. Help me to touch my classmates. And just dedicate yourself to God. Make that a priority. As a prophet, a priest, and a king, you're dedicating yourself. Number 2, pray much for opportunities. You need to pray much for opportunities. Luke wrote in his gospel in chapter 5, verse 16, that Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. I think one of the reasons Jesus so mightily used was because he prayed. And think of this. He is the Son of God, and he needed to pray. He was the anointed one, and he needed to pray. How much more do you and I need to pray? Because none of us are God. None of us are the Son of God. We need to pray. Prayer gets us into the alignment of what God wants to do. It gives us his perspective. It gives us his desires. It helps us to die to ourselves. It cleanses us of any flesh, of any selfishness. And it helps us to build our faith. Pray much for opportunities. Pray this every day. Lord, send someone across my path that I can help. We put it in your notes there so you can take it home and you can pray it every day. Lord, send someone across my path that I can help, that needs my help. Pray for opportunities. Number 3, rely on the Holy Spirit for whatever you need. Rely on the Spirit for whatever you need. You might think, God, you know, I'm not smart enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not powerful enough, I'm not holy enough. It's not about you. This is what Isaiah wrote in chapter 11, verse 2, and he talks about the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Jesus, shall rest upon him. It's the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And we've listed there what you and I have authority in our lives. As the Lord, as the Spirit of the Lord, you have absolute authority over the power of the devil. Whatever you face, you have authority over it. It's not because of you, it's because of Jesus who's in you. You also have a spirit of wisdom to solve problems and carry out successful plans. You don't know what to do? I've got the spirit of wisdom. Pray and believe God, he'll give you wisdom in those situations. He gives you understanding. As you're ministering and touching people's lives, you're going to discern people's motives. You're going to discern timing, when I need to speak and when I need to shut up. You're going to discern what's happening. You're going to discern if people are telling you the truth or telling you lies. God gives you understanding of the times and seasons around you. The counsel, he gives you advice for yourself and advice to give to others. There have been times I've been in counseling sessions and someone sharing something and I had no idea what to say. And they get done sharing and I'm just, God, help me. And all of a sudden, He gave me a word to them, and it just was like a laser, and it just impacted their life. God will do that for us in whatever situations. He'll give you the counsel of what to say, how to advise people. He gives you might. Might is moving what can't be moved. We sang about it today. Nothing is impossible. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You have resurrection power. Believe for people to be healed, for demons to be cast out, for blind to see. You say, I can't do that. You don't know until you try. And if it doesn't happen, it's not your fault, it's God's. I remember once when I was working in a factory, God told me to go pray for one of my coworkers, and I argued with him, and I finally did, and God healed him right there. And he began going throughout the whole plant telling everyone, I was healed. God wants to use us in the gifts of healing. We have the spirit of knowledge, providing what you need to fulfill divine purpose. And then the fear of the Lord, that's respect for him and for people in authority. Though God gives you whatever you need to touch the lives of others, begin to make Isaiah 11 a true verse to come true in your life. Number four is live in submission and obedience to God. We give you the reference of 1 Samuel 16 there. It tells us how King Saul lost the anointing. You can lose the anointing by being repetitively disobedient and hard-hearted and insubmissive to God. If you're living in sin today, if God's telling you to do something and you're not submitting to his leadership in your life, look out. Saul never recovered from his rebellion. Living in sin, playing with sin, is not wise, it's not healthy, and it could kill you. Saul totally lost everything. You can lose the anointing. Don't lose it. Live in submission and obedience to God. And number five, seek a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. Seek a continual filling. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul said, be filled. And in the original language, it means keep on being filled. There is a difference. Some of you might say, Craig, you haven't said anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't have a time to get into that. Here's the thing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a second experience that God wants every Christian to have. In John chapter 20, verse 20, write that verse down. It was the first night of Jesus' resurrection. He came to his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's when they were born again. But 40 days later, in Acts chapter 1, write verse 4, 5, and 8. Acts 1, 4, 5, and 8. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is additional power for ministry. Because here's the thing. I look at someone like Billy Graham, like Rick Warren, like Beth Moore, like Chuck Swindoll, who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you know God has used them in a powerful way, right? They've been mightily used of God. Why? Because they have an anointing, as every believer has an anointing on them. But there's a second experience. I wonder what they could have done if they did have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit evidenced by speaking in other tongues, you need to go for it. Because God desires all his sons and daughters to have that promise of added power to your life. This morning, I want you to think about the anointing and are you anointed? Really, the answer should be, yeah, I'm anointed. But let me ask you this. Are you flowing in that anointing God has given you as a Christ follower? Are you living in that anointing as a Christ follower? Are you walking about as a prophet? God, who do you want me to speak today? Who do you want me to manifest power to? Are you going through life as a priest? God, Who can I draw near to you? God, help me to draw near to you in this moment. Are you being a king? I am not going to let the enemy have authority over me. I am not going to let him have authority over my family, over my community, over my church. I'm going to take a stand for God. I'm going to be a minister of righteousness. I'm going to expand the kingdom in the hearts and lives of people. Are you anointed? Friends, it's not because of who you are. It's because of whose you are. You're a child of the King today.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.